I want to speak to you tonight about Mac culture. We just finished a spiritual enrichment series that has to do basically with the countering cultural challenges in different aspects of our lives. And just this past Friday, I read an article by Tim Elmore, whom I've quoted before. He's a good writer, and he's affiliated with growingleaders.com. And he had a title of a blog article entitled, Welcome to Mac Culture. So that caught my attention, and he begins with these words. After watching the news over the past week, three thoughts struck me. They were observations about the state of our culture today. Once a culture rich with depth, democracy, morals, and humility, we are now, well, superficial, self-absorbed, and synthetic. We are not the American culture that first settled this land. Things are now convenient, quick, and easy, like fast food, McRibs, McMuffin, McNuggets, and now Mac culture, he calls it. But I want to highlight those three terms that he uses to describe Mac culture, the culture in which we live. I want to share with you the three examples that he gave of this Mac culture that he is describing our culture as being. Mac culture, number one, is superficial, he says, superficial. And here's the example that he gave. This past weekend, MSNBC interrupted a serious interview with Congresswoman Jane Harman. The interview was about gun control, and so MSNBC was interviewing Jane Harman about this subject. And mid-sentence, he says, there was a news flash that interrupted this interview. And the news flash was about Justin Bieber being arrested for DUI. But he found that, and I find that noteworthy, that an interview with a congresswoman about a serious issue was interrupted by this announcement about Justin Bieber being arrested on a DUI. MSNBC isn't alone. CNN aired an hour-long special report titled Bieber's Troubles. If you're a Bieber fan, I'm sorry. But he's been in a lot of trouble, and it seems like that helps his ratings. But the CNN aired this show, Bieber's Troubles. You might expect it from Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood, but not from what they call themselves the most trusted name in the news. Tim Elmore says this is an example of how our culture is so superficial. Ben Cohen, Elmore cites, says this is a seriously worrying feature of the news industry in America, and one that warrants a great deal of scrutiny. The long-term effects of a major news network prioritizing news stories according to their virality is particularly toxic. Followed to its logical extreme, in a few years, no one will be reporting on anything serious at all, and we'll be stuck in a nightmarish cocoon of listicles and cat stories. In other words, we get consumed as a culture with these human interest stories and what's happening with these celebrities and these things that on a global scale do not matter one bit. But yet, we'll see in our Mac culture how these things are brought to the limelight much more quickly than some serious issues in our culture. We're getting very good at sticking to the surface. Welcome to Mac culture. Number two, Mac culture is self-absorbed. Self-absorbed. Tim Elmore, in giving an example of how our culture is self-absorbed, cites this cornerback for Seattle Seahawks, Richard Sherman. And many of you saw how after they played the San Francisco 49ers, after the game, he was so full of himself, and these are Tim Elmore's words, he had to share some of it with us. In an interview, he boasted that he was the best cornerback in the NFL, dissing Michael Crabtree, the wide receiver he had covered. By the way, Sherman's agent told CNN Money that interest in his client has boomed since the remarks, while Sherman's current endorsements amount to just a bit more than his $550,000 a year salary, he believes there are going to be millions in deals that will soon follow. Sherman is indeed awesome. Just ask him. Self-absorbed. I think it's a good example. And it reflects our culture in which we get so self-absorbed. Tim Elmore cites an NPR program, National Public Radio program, by David Brooks, in which he talked about World War II veterans. And in interviewing these veterans, without fail, all of them said, "We're not the heroes. We were just doing our job." David Brooks went home after interviewing some of these World War II veterans, and when he turned on the television, there was one of those NFL players scoring a touchdown, and he was stunned at the ego and the arrogance that that player displayed, that even his teammates couldn't get near him to congratulate and to celebrate with him the teamwork that was required to enable him to score that touchdown. David Brooks said that the contrast between the war veteran's humility and this player's ego was stunning. The vets had saved the free world. The athlete had run a few yards with a ball. Somehow it's okay to be full of oneself instead of saying, "I'm just doing my job." That's a reflection of Mac culture. Number three, Mac culture is synthetic. Again, quoting Tim Elmore, "If you watch news programs as I do, you might be aware of the fact that shallow or artificial stories are shared with the same seriousness as significant stories that shape our history. In other words, we are just as compelled with synthetic, artificial, and conjured up news, like stories from reality TV shows, celebrities, etc., as we are with events that really matter." He says, "A network or cable news program will likely spend as much time talking about Miley Cyrus weekend as it does on the economy or on poverty in America." And if you don't know who Miley Cyrus is, I want to congratulate you. She's one of those young ladies that used to be on a family-friendly show. Not that I cared anything about it, but now has gone off the deep end morally. It's a disgrace, some things she does. But our networks, our news, they'll grab a hold of things like that. And it gives evidence that our culture is synthetic. Superficial, self-absorbed, and synthetic. Then the scriptures tell us, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." If these three terms accurately describe at least some aspects of our culture, then what does God say? What are God's countercultural values? Well, let's explore that. Instead of superficial, would you agree that one of His values is being serious? And when I say being serious, I'm not saying not having a sense of humor. Because after all, the word says a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. I'm not talking about not having a sense of humor. If we can't laugh at ourselves, we're in for a miserable life, right? But I am saying that there are some matters in this world concerning which we need to be serious. We need to be able to separate the trivial from the important. We need to be able to separate the unnecessary from the essential, the temporary from the eternal. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and see if this is not exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying about being able to separate these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to begin reading with verse 16 going into chapter 5. Notice the contrast that he makes. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, speaking of our bodies, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The Apostle Paul makes a distinction here. He challenges us to put our focus on those things that really matter, the eternal matters, the things that are not seen over the things that are seen, the things that are eternal over those things that are temporal. Living in view of eternity is how Paul instructs us to live. And these are things to be serious about what really matters. One man put it this way. He suddenly found himself on a hospital bed, and he came to this realization. I came to realize I no longer really cared for what the world chases after, such as how much money you have in the bank, how many cars are parked in the garage. As it says in Ecclesiastes, chasing after these things is like chasing the wind anyway. Suddenly the rat race became vanity to me, utter vanity. I felt naked before God. If I died, I would take none of the stuff with me. All that really mattered ultimately was my relationship with the Lord, my relationship with family and friends. If it weren't for the loss of my health, I could have wasted the rest of my life chasing achievements and acquiring more transitory things. He recognized it took the loss of his health, but he recognized what's really important in this life. It's not the superficial. It's not the things that are seen, but the serious eternal things. Things like relationships. So not superficial, God would say, in a countercultural value, but serious. Secondly, not self-absorbed, but Christ-centered. Not self-absorbed, but Christ-centered is what God would say. And I love to illustrate it this way. I went to Goodwill yesterday, just down the road, in hopes of finding an album. Now, some of you know about these. And in the far corner of the Goodwill, just down the road here, I found some albums. And I started flipping through, and this guy was saying, you know, some of these CDs aren't scratched and all. All those albums are probably scratched. And I said, probably. And I'm kind of embarrassed, but I pulled up one that I recognized. Samantha Sang. And she sang a song called Emotion with the Bee Gees singing along with her. And my children are going to rake me over the coals for that, because they're going to Google it and say, "Dad, you listen to that?" But I wanted to show you how I illustrate about getting off center. Because I read one time about a boy that ordered one of these things and got it, you know, snail mail. And when he opened it, the company that sold it forgot to put the hole in the center. You know, the hole in the center so that when you spin it on the turntable, on the record player, and there's the stylus, that needle that sits in those grooves, and it'll play the music for you. I know this is archaic for many of you. But it didn't have this hole in the middle. And so he said it needs a hole in the middle. So he drilled a hole in it, just like I did this afternoon. And it wasn't quite in the center. How do you think that sounded when he put it on his phonograph, his turntable, his record player, as I called it? Didn't work well. Sounded horrible. When we put self in the center of our lives, we're off center. We don't make pretty music, and we get very frustrated. It's only when we put God in the center of our lives, when we put Christ in the center, that we really experience life as God intended it. Self-centered is off center. But our culture is wrapped up in self, that seeks to put self at the center of our world. And as a result, experiences all of this trouble, this discord, this frustration, as they swagger and wobble through their self-centered lives. God says, in response to the self-absorption of mech culture, that we need to be Christ-centered. Put Christ at the center of your life. Then you'll know what life is about. And when we put Christ at the center of our lives, we're going to learn to be others-centered as well. One of my favorite poems is also a song. Well, let me read this passage first. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this mind in you, the next verse says, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we would put Jesus at the center of our lives, we're also going to be putting others in the center and not ourselves. The song that I love, the poem, is entitled Others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. And it has this refrain: Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. But you see, that's a far cry from the self-absorption, the selfishness that our culture magnifies. God says it's not self-absorption, it's being Christ-centered. And God says we're not to be synthetic, but real. If I asked you to come up with a Bible word for synthetic, what word would you use? A Bible word for synthetic, what would you use? How many of you thought of the word hypocrisy? I thought that might be a good fit. And what did Jesus say about hypocrisy? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Synthetic. While that's an emphasis in our culture, God says He wants us to be real. I looked up the word really. Really. Here are a couple of passages. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." I want to be a real disciple, don't you? Not synthetic. The real deal. And Jesus says the way that happens, if you hold to, if you abide in, if you remain in my word, then you're really my disciples. James 2 verse 8 says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. And in the context, he's talking about showing favoritism, respect of persons. If you really fulfill the royal law, if you really keep it, you do well. You're doing right. God wants us to really love our neighbors. Really, not synthetically. Also, a phrase came to mind is from the heart. God wants us to speak and act from the heart, being genuine. Here are a few examples. Matthew 18, 35, after Jesus tells the story of the unforgiving servant. And he talked about the punishment for that unforgiving servant who wouldn't forgive a fellow servant that owed him just a small amount when that servant had been forgiven an incredible amount. He spoke about his punishment. And then Jesus makes application. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother, notice, from the heart. Unless you really forgive your brother. Romans 6:17, God be thanked, Paul says, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. NIV has wholeheartedly that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. God doesn't want half-hearted obedience. He wants it from the heart, wholeheartedly, genuinely. Ephesians 6 and verse 6 was written to Christians who were serving as slaves at the time. And he's telling them how they're to be obedient to their masters in all things. And he also includes this instruction, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants or slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You obey your masters as if you're obeying Jesus. And obey from the heart. Put your heart into it. Mean it. It's not synthetic at all. 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, with your whole heart, sincerely, genuinely, really. My culture may be described as synthetic, but God says be real. Really be my disciple. Really obey from the heart. Really love one another and your neighbor. So Tim Elmore says, once a culture that was rich with depth, democracy, morals, and humility, we are now superficial, self-absorbed, and synthetic. That's why an interview with a congresswoman can be interrupted with the newsflash about Justin Bieber. That's why athletes who are paid thousands, even millions of dollars, can tell everybody how good they are. Because that's what our culture emphasizes. Superficial, self-absorbed, synthetic. My plea is that we'll live by God's countercultural values. That we won't be superficial, but we'll be serious about those things that really matter. That we won't be self-centered, but Christ-centered. That we won't be synthetic, but really and sincerely seeking to follow Jesus. Let's live by God's countercultural values. Let's live God's way. And perhaps tonight you have made that decision in your life to begin living His way. But you need, first of all, to surrender your life in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ as a penitent believer, we hope and pray you'll do so even tonight. But then that all of us will seek to live not by the values that our world manifests and seeks for us to live by, but that we'll live counterculturally, living by the values that God has revealed in His Word. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need to respond for any reason, please come right now as we stand and sing.